In your Bibles to the book of Colossians in chapter 3. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Brother Gordon and Home Baptist Church for this opportunity and for hosting this wonderful conference. Your accommodations are wonderful, and the meals that you prepare are well, more than satisfactory. They're almost, well, I can't eat enough. And I eat too much. We thank the Lord for enabling us to be here the past 2 years in a row, I guess. We just thank the Lord for that blessing. Didn't always enjoy that opportunity because of work and so thank the Lord for enabling us to quit Walmart and has freed up time for more study other than what I'm going to be preaching, and has freed up time for things that I see that need to be done around the church property to actually have the luxury to be able to help see to it that those things are taken care of. Colossians, the third chapter this morning. I'd like to begin reading with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I'd like to speak to you this morning about seeking those things above. Seek those things above. If ye then be risen with Christ. He said, in verse 6 of chapter 2, he said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 20 says, wherefore if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. And then verse 1, he starts out in chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Since we are risen with Christ, we're free. We're free from sin. We're free from the bondage of sin. We're free from the penalty of sin. But not free to do what we please. We must walk more closely with God. That's my desire, to have a closer walk with God. That's my purpose in desiring to come to Bible conferences, that I might be fed, that I might be encouraged to walk more closely with God. That I might be obedient in all things. Not just what I choose and like, but in all things. Here we are exhorted to set our hearts on heaven things and take them off of this world. If ye then be risen with Christ. Might say that's the question this morning. Are you risen with Christ? It's a privilege to be risen with Christ. To have benefit by the resurrection of Christ and by excellence of our communion with him, we are justified, we are sanctified, we are glorified. Therefore, we seek those things which are above. Our passions are on heavenly things. Our desires are on heavenly things, not on things of this world. Heaven is our view. And we seek God's favor. We seek communion with Him by faith, hope, and love. It's our constant care. It's our constant business. Christ sits at the right hand of God. Think about that. He who is my friend, my head, is situated at the highest honor in heaven. And He has gone before to prepare a place of heavenly happiness for me. Yes, it's personal to me. I preach that He died for me. I preach that He loved me. He chose me. You see, I'm the only one that I can speak for with any conviction, with any assurance, real assurance. He did that for me. Why then would I not seek that which He has purchased at so great of an expense for me? There are two main points that are exposed in these first four verses. We'd like to take a look at them this morning. The first is the duty. The duty explained, which we find in verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Seek those things which are above. To seek things which are above is to desire, is to inquire. And the definition of that word doesn't stop there. Require. You see, we not only desire and we not only inquire into those things, but we require it must be so. I gotta have it. Is that kind of desire in our hearts this morning? For the things of heaven. So, because that desire is there, because that inquiring, that requirement that I have to have it is there, we set our affections, we set our mind, we set our heart upon them. We fix, we attach our mind and our affections on them. So our desires of the heart, they soar upwards. And it's toward spiritual things. We must gain an intimate knowledge with them. It's a requirement. I have to be more intimate with the Word of God. I got to be more intimate with God. I got to be more intimate with the things that are Godward. Esteem them higher than anything else. Prepare myself for the enjoyment of those things. Turn with me to the book of Psalms and Chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27. And the psalmist David here said in verse 4, he said, "One thing have I desired, one thing have I asked, one thing have I begged of the Lord. That will I seek after, that will I require, that will I desire, seek to find. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life,
to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. So many professing church members today, where's the inquiring for the house of the Lord? Where's the requiring for the house of the Lord? They say they love the Lord. They love Jesus. They love His Word. But where's the desire to be there? They're filled with the world. They're filled with the things of the world. And if they have time for the house of the Lord, they'll fit it into their schedule. But the world takes up their time. Psalmist said, I desire, I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. This is spiritual mindedness. This is what it is to be spiritually minded. Turn with me to the book of Romans in chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. He says, for to be carnally minded is death. To have the mind of the world is death. You're yet dead in your sins and your trespasses. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's life. It's alive towards the things of God. It desires the things of God. It can't get enough of them. This kind of seeking for this intimate knowledge is seeking and desiring a better country, a better place. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 14 says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. I've studied two different times in two different churches now that I've pastored. I've done a study in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and as I was going through this, thinking about this 16th verse again, they desire a better country, and He has prepared a city for them. I almost think that is those that are desiring that better country. The Lord has prepared the city for them. The elect of Israel and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's going to be there, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is going to be there, and their lives. Do you desire a better country? Oh, as wicked as this world is getting, as wicked as this country is getting, yet so-called Christians aren't fed up with it yet. Oh, they'll grumble and complain about it. But it's not drawing them closer to the Lord. It's not causing them to run to the house of the Lord. Things on earth are in opposition to things above. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't give in to the desires and passions of the flesh. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He's that wise man. He's that man that repents. He's that man that is seeking those things which are above. Therefore, we must not give our minds and our hearts over to them. Don't expect too much from them. I think we're expecting an awful lot from them. We do this in order that our affections may be given over to heavenly things. How can we be divided? Most of us for years have thought we could have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Enough scripture given to us that tells us that can't be so. Then the second thing we notice is found in verses 3 and 4. There are three reasons that are given to us for enjoining this duty. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We are dead. We're to be dead to the things of this world. We're to be dead to sin, alive unto God. This things of the world are not our portion. They're not our assigned allotment. They're not our inheritance. We're buried with Christ. We're planted into the likeness of His death. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Where's our walk? Where's our walk? Is it in and of the things of the world? Or is it in newness of life? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. By Jesus Christ, the world, that is the desires and passions of the flesh, is crucified unto us that are saved. Look what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said in the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Verse 14, he said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen. Listen, if Christ has died for us, and we're living, we're seeking those things which are above, our affections are set on those things that are above, the world will be crucified. They won't want anything to do with us, and I unto them. It is unreasonable for us to set our affections on things of this life. If we're truly dead to them, and realize that they don't bring happiness. Happiest days of my life are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I know that I'm being obedient for what he would have me to do. And some of the most troublesome times are when I know I'm in disobedience to the Lord. Our life, secondly, our life is hid with Christ in God in the heavenlies. Let that soak in. Think about that. We ought to take that thought with us every day. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. He's our life. He's our spiritual life. He's given to us eternal life. Our sustenance is from above. John chapter 3, and I know you all know this, but John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't understand. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, of the word, and of the spirit, from above, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You must be born from above. We're born from above. Being born from above, we receive nourishment from above. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, or are held together, or are sustained. Sustenance is that which supports life, and God is our life support. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, he's able to save unto the uttermost. That is, he's able, he has the ability, and he has the resources, and he's able to save to completeness. He gave life, and he'll continue to give life. John chapter 17 and verse 2 says, as thou hast given him power, that is the Son, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He's given eternal life, and he keeps on giving us eternal life. He sustains it. Our life is hid with Christ in God. That's secure. That's security. John chapter 14, verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Because he lives, we also shall live. 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 8, says, whom having not seen, ye love. That is Christ, whom we've not seen, we love. So, Christ, whom we have not seen. But in this is our comfort, that our life is hid with him. and laid up safely with Him in God. The third thing we see in this passage of Scripture is when Christ, verse 4, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Note three things here. Christ is our, the believer's life. He's our chief end. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. That is, this flesh. The desires and passions of it are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I live spiritually. Yet not I, but Christ. My life is in Christ. Liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He lives in us by His Spirit. And we live in Him in all that we do. Philippians chapter 1, in verse 21, Paul said, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said, as long as I live, it's going to be for the things of Christ. By His help and by His aid and His strength, as long as I live, it's going to be for the things of Christ. Secondly, Christ will appear again. Christ will appear again. He's hid now. We've not seen Him, 1 Peter 1:8 says. Well, read 1 Peter 1:8 to you. In its entirety, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Him whom we've not seen, but with the eye of faith, one day we're going to see Him. He said in John chapter 14 and in verse 3, John chapter 14 and verse 3, I was going to try to quote it. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Did you catch that? I will come again. Not I might come again. I will come again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We have the assurance that He is coming again. He will come again. In Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him, He shall... Let me reread that. And unto them that look for Him, shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming. He's coming. He shall appear. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, but we know that when He shall appear. Thirdly, then we shall appear with Him in glory. We shall appear with Him in glory. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him face to face. Oh, what a glorious day. Are you looking for that? Are you seeking to that end? Are your affections set on things above? He will come to be glorified in his saints. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He shall come to be glorified in his saints. His saints are his glory. At his appearing, all his saints will be called up together with him. And we whose life is now hid with Christ shall then appear with Christ in glory, which he himself enjoys. He prayed to that end. He prayed for that end to be. Look with me at John chapter 17. The more I read John 17 and study John 17, that's got to be about my favorite portion in the Word of God. I love John the 17th chapter. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also which thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world, and he loved me too. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. Do we look for such glory? Are we seeking for such glory? Should not we set our affections upon that and live above this world? What here? What is here that we should be fond of? What is here that we should desire? Is there not something yonder to draw our hearts to it? Our head, our Savior, our Redeemer, Christ Jesus is there. Our home is there. Our treasure is there. And we hope to be there forever. Not a maybe so hope. I'm expecting it. Amen. It's going to happen. Amen. It's going to be, Brother Dan. Amen.